Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OASG Podcast is Not Popular. This is episode 229. My name is Helen.
My name is Justin.
I had to, like, double check that we didn't skip a week here because there is, like, so much news for us to cover, and we still got to talk about the summer stuff. Just so much. So much.
We was unable to talk about summer anime last episode, so now we got to talk about this episode, which feels like it doubles everything. But you know what, Helen? We'll get through it somehow in record time.
I'm holding you to that one. Although I would like to remind you, you're the one who has to edit this either way. So,
yeah. So let's get on to the news, because we obviously have stuff we caught up to aside from anime and manga, but maybe some other podcast episode. We'll show what that is, but we have so much to talk about this episode. So, Helen, the end is coming for Manga Planet and Futsukeya, sorta. So they announced, I think this past week, that due to various circumstances, restrictions from payer processors, the changing online landscape, to name a few, they will close their digital service at the end of March of next year. The only reason I say it somewhat is because they're still going to be around. They're going to just shift their focus to print licenses, and they're going to continue releases through their Manga Planet label and Futsukeya imprint. So if you had like any... If anybody had any particular BL that they wanted to read, don't worry, Futsukeya is, they'll handle it, I guess, from here.
I am kind of puzzled why any payment processor issues would be an issue for digital, but then not print, since I don't know if they have, like, a different system and setup,
so they're not going to
the same payment processors. Maybe the major card holders don't mind as much if you buy your porn in print than digital. But I don't think that's it, so...
No, you basically made your point. Good example, gushing over Magical Girls was not something Amazon, for example, would stock digitally on their service, but they will out of print versions. So, yes, there is definitely a difference between getting it digitally and in print. And I guess for Manga Planet, this isn't actually the first time...
That feels stupid, but I will respect that seems to be how the world is working right now.
And then for Manga Planet, this is actually not the first time they had player posture issues. I want to say they had issues with Stripe some time ago.
Yeah. I know a lot of Play 7 having issues with Stripe, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of them.
And I don't know if...
If they were another site.
I don't know if PayPal changed anything or not, or... I think also just depending on just what Manga Planet was using, there may have been some services that just wasn't taking it. Like, take any digital, like, payments or whatever. I'm not sure if the Visa MasterCard thing played a role in this, possibly in Japan, but obviously my understanding is Manga Planet is more global, not limited to that. So I'm not sure if that was mainly the issue, but I go with the various circumstances part, or I should say the changing online landscape. I want to go back to a change they made a couple years ago where they decided to essentially, like, merge their separate, like, Futsukeya with Manga Planet. This was years ago, and it kind of just changed their whole, like, subscription, like, type of service. It wasn't like a Manga Planet Pass or anything like that. They had a totally different system, and again, it could have been factors into what like their issues with Stripe and stuff like that. But I think that part, when they did that, was a sign that things are not going as well as they needed it to. And of course, a couple years later, they now are not going to have a digital service anymore. So from that perspective, it's sad. Obviously, they've been around for a while. They've put out some intriguing stuff. They put out the Ginga Nagawari, that wolf manga eons ago, which was a shocking one because it's like, that's never been licensed before. How did they do that? Put that out there? They also, I still remember this, they also announced they licensed Silent Mobius. And then proceeded to never actually release it on their service. So
wait, that I am remembering that now. Now that you mention it.
So they've had some issues. They obviously have some interesting stuff on their service. They've also had some, I think, some wards here and there. Especially when you're competing with a whole bunch of other digital services and stuff like that. I can't say they really had like a big major standout title over there. Like a certain, like, if a certain company has a certain like title, big title, like a Shonen Jump has all these Shonen Jump titles and stuff like that. But for Manga Planet, they probably had like a few things that people can remember and want to check out. I think just a case where you just weren't able to like really break out. Food to Care, however, I think was the one that they were making most of their money from. And I'm just like, they should have continued that. Their BL line was doing really well from what I can tell. So yeah, combination of things probably led to this. So it's disappointing from that perspective. I think that's all I'm going to say about that.
And then, well, I said you need to do this next section, this next one, so I was going to jump ahead, unless you really want to keep the order that we have things in the script.
Yes, let's actually keep the order. Let's actually keep the order. So yes, this one's a bizarre one. Over this
before we started the podcast.
Yeah, because it's kind of a bizarre one, because it sounds pretty unusual, but at the same time, it's also kind of serious. So, Kajiyuki's agency, VIMS, issued a statement. This was this past Monday. Regarding allegedly slanderous and misleading statements made about Kaji online. The statement noted the agency is aware of false and misleading information of Kaji on the internet, some social media platforms, and elsewhere, and asserted the information is unfounded. The false and misleading remarks about Kaji involve rumors, extramarital affairs, and hobbies. So yes, it's a situation where I can't even like put out a timeline, because at this point it's wholly unofficial, so I'm not even going to like go too far in explaining that. The only thing is, it's apparently something that stemmed from years ago that's combined to a whole bunch of things happening that also resurfaced this past week with something that we'll talk about, I guess, in a bit later on in this section. It's very bizarre, just really strange, but it was apparently bad enough to where the agency had to put out a statement and even had to essentially put in their statement that they have contacted lawyers regarding the matter, and they urge people to suspect they have engaged in activities to please immediately delete the relevant post and take appropriate action. When it gets to the legal point, that means that things are going to a bad point. So, this is just really bizarre. I kind of hope that this obviously gets settled in a, I guess, amicable way, but it's going to be difficult because people are just going to believe what they want to believe. So,
yeah, I was saying to Justin before the podcast that here in the U.S., we have fairly strong First Amendment protections where the bar to be actually convicted of things like slander and libel are pretty high. So for us, yeah, it's bigger news if someone is suing someone else for that kind of defamation in court and it's not being thrown out, like it's being taken as an actual serious thing. But that's not necessarily true in other parts of the world, so it's a little hard for me to tell if this is like, whoa, big issue, or if this is just a PR agency making noise. But moving on, we're going to be talking about a lot of NYCC stuff in a little bit, but in a non-licensing bit of news, Witch Hat Atelier won the Best Manga Award at the Harvey Awards for the second time. It previously won in 2020. The runners-up for this past year were The Guy She Was Interested In Wasn't a Guy at All, The Summer Hikaru Died, Tokyo These Days, and Windbreaker. So Witch Hat continues to be an incredibly popular manga that we still don't have the anime for yet. They released a new visual with Quiffery's face, but that is also the most recent update we've gotten, because that was like 2 days ago. But yeah, just the fans are still salivating and chomping at the bit for this.
Any look, they just stare at the background. What's in the background? What's behind Coco? What's behind her?
No. Like the mangaka even said on their Blue Sky post, like, make sure to pay attention to what's in the background. So we are only doing as bidden.
So here's some actually like nice news, more nice news. So voice actors Kaito Ishikawa and Maya Uchida, they got married. Woohoo! Congratulations to the family there, or to both of them and their families. Obviously, they're both notable VAs in the anime industry. So I'm already curious, like what the story of how this came about and how long they've been, like, I guess, been together. But very, very nice stuff. Very nice.
Going on hiatus, there's no reason given, but firefighter Diago, rescuer in Orange, is going on an indefinite hiatus. It's been on hiatus before. The first part of the manga ended in February 2024, and it took a break until that May when it came back with part two. There's 12 volumes out of this, so I don't know, maybe the author realized that they just had run out of ideas. And then Annan is confusing me, but this is apparently a sequel to another
Yeah, another firefighter.
manga from the 90s or something.
Yeah, another fire. Yeah, the same one, firefighter. Yeah. Sequel.
Clearly this mangaka likes firefighters.
I assume it sells a lot.
I mean, they don't have much competition in that area. I feel like the market is very small. And also taking a break, A Witch's Life in Mongolia is taking a break for a little while. The manga's been published bi-monthly until now. I think this hiatus is because the creator is going on maternity leave, or was that an earlier hiatus?
I think it was early and I actually came back, but obviously maybe she might need another break at the moment.
Yeah, Annan is not specifying when Tomato Soup's maternity leave was, but maybe the little tomatoes still need like some extra time.
Possibly, and now to close this new section out, we got a couple manga resuming. Akihiro Onaka's Gushing Over Magical Girls is going to come back this later this week. The series is on hiatus in last March due to Onaka's health. And this year's over issue of Kodansha's monthly shonen magazine revealed that Yo Asami's manga adaptation of Nasuhyuga's You Can't Bluff the Sharp-Eyed Sister is going to resume in the magazine's March issue after it went on a three-chapter side story. It ended its current series on July 4th, but looks like it's going to start another part soon enough.
All these places that are like, part one is done, part two is starting now, are just confusing me, because it's
No,
like,
no.
this isn't like JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, where each part is like a whole different cast of characters and everything. This is just like a story arc, like.
You bring this up, Helen. I'm so used to like just TV shows getting the season two or season three type of moniker, but I'm seeing like this manga get this. I'm like, I am what? Why?
Part the final, part one. All right, moving on to some licenses. Starting off with the ones that were not announced at New York Comic Con. Seven Seas had another couple rounds of Wonderful Wednesdays. They are bringing over Nanonan's I Like Cat Butts, Tasuku Karasamu's Gilded Seven, and he's Give Me a Hug, Mr. Frog, Norishiro Katate Uzawa, and John D's Reluctant Space Commander from Death Wish to Galactic Hero, both a light novel and manga for that title. They are also bringing over Takebi Amamori and Imigurumi's Losing Too Many Heroines short stories, Yamayade's Can You Kiss Me First, Masahiro Abe's Cheeky Devil Cop, Hiro Moruno's Luna Knight, and Bunazaburo Nagano, Shinichi Yuki, and Tenmasu's Let's Run an Inn on Dungeon Island in a World Ruled by Women. Also, they announced that they're going to be doing a couple more audiobooks for their Siren imprint. Eniki Hakari's Skeleton Knight in Another World, narrated by Fred Berman. Shoji Goji's Loner Life in Another World, narrated by Maxwell Click. I don't know if the Skeleton Knight is a loner or not. Someone let me know. And Kumi Tamaru's Riku Can't Be a Goddess, narrated by Krishna Zaharik. I also don't know if this person can't be a goddess in a loner world, Somebody let me know if there's like an overarching theme between these
No,
or not.
nobody. Don't let her know. Just don't do it. Don't just
Justin, you can't stop me. You're not on Blue Sky. You can't tell. If
don't.
someone lets me know, you can't tell unless I forward it to you.
Speaking of stuff that was announced, this is funny because this is actually announced during, like, I believe New York Comic Con weekend, but it was not actually announced at the convention by Young Press themselves. So we got a couple of light novels.
Young Press going, oh shit, we forgot to put some of these in the presentation. Quick, announce them online.
Yeah, announce them online. So yes, we got a couple of Young Press titles that's now, they're now on Tapas. So we got the MS in Shadow, Overlord, ReZero, Starting Life in Another World, the Suburb Hikaru Died novel, and That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. You can read them on Tapas. I'm not sure you can read all. I doubt you can read all of it. And if you, even if you
I can tell you because I am on Tapas, and they had an event going, one of those, unlock a certain number of chapters, and we give you free ink, which you can use to buy more chapters.
Okay.
So for Hikaru Died, they've got the first volume up, I believe, in complete form. Although, might need a few more parts. For the other four, they've got the entire first volume, and then all or most of the second volume of those up. They've got them on 3-hour unlocks, so you can unlock up to a certain number every 3 hours.
All right, I got my question answered by someone who's using the service. Let's go. Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah,
at this point, I have just consolidated down. I'm like, I will read things if they are on Tapas. If they are on any other service, I am not downloading another fucking app. I am going elsewhere to find the titles.
this is just the start. More Young Press Light Novels are going to be added to Tapas Monthly. So I guess we'll go with the... We'll see what the other popular title those Young Press will add next to Tapas in the coming months. And now we're going to shift over to stuff they actually announced at New York City Comic Con. Ellen, it's time. we've had so many versions of Delicious. Well, we got the obviously the Young Press released the box set version of Delicious Dungeon. Now we're gonna have a board game version of Delicious Dungeon, Monster Eater, Delicious Dungeon, the board game. What?
Yeah, that one threw me. Young Press has definitely never licensed a board game before. I don't think any of the manga hubs in the U.S. have licensed a board game before. But if I'm wrong,
I am trying to figure out,
I definitely can't think of any.
I should have checked before we did this. I feel like Young Press did something with Konosuba. I could be totally wrong. Don't quote me on any of this.
I feel like somebody has licensed like a card game before, like Seven Seas or Viz, but it's the board game part that I'm thinking is new.
Yeah, board game part is definitely new. I just feel like Young Press did something, but as you. As you're alluding to, listeners, like, yeah, this is very rare. This is definitely not what you would expect. The fact that, I guess, Delicious Dungeons gotten popular enough, and I guess, obviously, the whole concept about monsters and everything, I think that kind of works, too, in its favor. So, that's very much a shocking announcement from that standpoint.
I want to know where this fits into the whole American board game versus Euro card game, like, Venn diagram, like... Are the Japanese, are they, like, more American, more Euro? Or are they, like, some previously unknown entity? The difference is that the European ones do not use many dice, and the American board games are, like, all the dice, all the time. Let's go. Roll, like, 6 of them.
Roll, like, 12 of them out of nowhere. Why 12? Anyways. We got Scarlet Barrico and Next Level Studios Redeem, Only One Forever, Somatos, Kuro, Machi Sahiro's Clumsy Kiss, Hirota's My Lover is Just Too Innocent to Handle, Amamose's Love from the Tip of the Tongue, Yukari Sakai and Furu Tsuyama's Merit Any Egyptian God, Megami's You Can't Escape from Mizudako-chan, Takedon's My Super Cute Black Mage, Shimashinya's Void No 9, Noboru Sagawa's Toxie Noxy Foresty Forest, say that 5 times fast. Shinano no. Sano and Nigata Amon Shanti. That's the novel. So it's going to be the Yanam imprint. Takara Nanishi and Noko's The Azure Sword, Slayer of Distortions, also Yanon. And Amarita's Our Party Nearly Wiped and Then Everything Went Downhill, Yanon. Funny enough, hell, I feel like
when the party nearly wipes, I feel like that is the start of it going downhill. If it goes downhill after that, like, oh boy.
And this is just me, but I feel like I probably nearly wiped. I don't know. I feel like it could have been worth a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I guess.
Also, I think that's supposed to be Void Number 9, not
Okay, no. You're right. You're right. You're probably right.
Yeah.
I just copied and pasted. You're probably right. It should be number, void number 9.
Oh, no. I mean, wait. I think it's pronounced number instead of pronounced no.
It's going to be funny when we hear somebody actually say English. No. English! We're going to have to say no. Actually, you have to say the no as in not the number, the actual no. Like, what? So now we have the Karachas number 9. Now we got Yampress's number 9 right here. There you go.
This is like the time I was trying to explain to people how one of my favorite pizza places in D.C. is a chain called Ant Pizza. And they were trying to look it up. And I was trying to explain, no, it's spelled the ampersand symbol and then pizza. That's what you got to type in. My friend's for giving me dirty looks by that point and was like, listen, I did not come up with a name for this pizza place. And then moving over to J Novel Club, they also announced a variety of licenses. Harunadon and Kurodeko's Even Exiled, She's Still the Beloved Saint, Saint Evelyn's Weird and Wonderful Friends. This will be a late novel under the J Novel Heart title imprint, since they are already putting out the manga. Hiki Narutori and Yamimaru Ijin's Buying You on the Day You Were to Die. Tenman. God, I cannot talk today. Tenma Asahi and Tsutsuji Takahashi's So Dearly Reckless. Haru Sakura and Seals, The Azure Dragon's Devotion, An Offering of 3 Centuries to You. And, Oh, and all three of these previous titles were under their J Novel Night line, aka the BL line, aka J Novel Club is just that they've decided they want the Fujoshi dollars. Also licensed Sora, Suigetsu, and Dichas, scooped up by an S rank adventurer. This white mage is one heck of a healer. This is the light novel version, as they are already publishing the manga. Hitsugi Kurokawa and Kuki Kushiro's Repeat Advice, I Refuse to Be Important Enough to Die. Okamoto Takaya and Sumihei's Sowing Vengeance, The Eldest Son's Disgraceful Green Thumb. Rei Yayoi and Kyo Zip's The Cannon Fodder's Ascension from Pawn to World Unifier. Kei Yosoi and Ruri Miyuki's The Villainous Speaks Not. Takamedo and Nemusuke's Reforming an Icy Final Boss, Getting Back at the Self-Proclaimed Villainous with the Power of Friendship. Mizuna and Ryuki's the Petty Villain Plays by the Rules, Rewriting the Sotome Game of Hard Work. Of Honest Work. Presumably it is also hard work. Abyss, Inoshima, Pochi Edoya, and Neropasa's What's With the Bag, Kamiyama-san, manga version. I've seen the picture for this one, and she is wearing a bag on her head. This is not someone, like, carrying around a suspicious bag, because it was give off, like,
different vibes. It is. If you watch sports, and you see the miserable teams, like, the years ago, the Saints, and they have the paper bag, it's like that. Exactly like that. The brown bag, yeah.
J-Novel Club is still not done yet. They also license Iota, Ayui, Momotips, and Tsukasa Kuga's Fluffy-Eared Realm Restoration, Taking It Slow with My Cool Big Brother manga. They're already publishing the light novel. And they are going to be putting out a couple new titles in print in April. This is the Bookwalker Prize winner from last year's original novel, J-Novel Club contest. Hunter with illustrator LLO's The Adorable Dungeon Master. They're also going to be putting out An Unruly Summon, which was the first prize winner by... God damn it, now I gotta like figure out like...
Catfosh.
And Kurodeko's... No, listen, Justin, I have seen enough... I have seen enough Celtic languages to know when I see those letters put together that is probably not how we say it in English.
Okay.
Because English is not a Celtic language. They will also be putting out the grand prize winner title Atlas, Her, the Combatant, and Him, the Hero, which was by John Rothman and illustrator TTLs. Here I was thinking, oh, good, I can pronounce the author's name. And the illustrator is just like a couple of letters. Also, they're also going to be releasing as audiobooks Ren Yugichi's Campfire Cooking in Another World of My Absurd Skill, And Ryu's, now I'm a demon lord, happily ever after my monster girls in my dungeon. Justin has some speculation here about how those are being put out.
Yeah,
my speculation is that is the demon lord happily campfire cooking in another world with their monster girls in a dungeon?
That is a long title, Helen.
That is my question.
That might be even longer than the Unlimited Gacha title that's airing right now. Well, okay, no, it's not. It's definitely not even close.
It's been very funny to see people discover the Unlimited Gacha title. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when Justin was complaining to me that it would not, in fact, fit in a single tweet at the time.
Oh, my God.
I think that was before Twitter increased the character limit and you could not actually fit it in a single tweet.
No. I think it was even worse than that. I had more than enough. The Twitter account increased, but it was so long it went past that. Like, it was even more than that. Like, what? And I only got that time. Was it? Either Light Novel, I think Seven Seas was published in a manga. I think at the time, it was obviously not, you'd have to pay for Twitter or anything like that. So there was not even thinking, like, you could just tweet and everything. But at the time, it was like, is this series for real? And then, of course, General Clown.
I just remember that, like, a few months earlier, we had been joking about the increasing length of Light Novel titles. And you had, like, joked with me, I wonder when we're going to get a title that's too long to fit in a single tweet. And then this one rolled along.
But yes, back to my, I've kind of been following General Club's, like, audiobook output for the past, like, year or so. Well, not that closely, but close enough to where I'm like, okay, where's the next Bookworm? Where is it?
I was going to say, this is what it all comes back to, folks. Where Bookworm.
Is it? Because the last, they finished part three, part one, volume three. Yeah, that's right. They finished part one early this year, like early, I want to say February or March. So it's now October. Where is it? What has happened to it? But not even just
Justin's
that.
Justin's going,
like,
feral over here, folks. Give him this bookworm and none of us get hurt.
Since they kind of went through their audiobook announcements a couple years ago, but I think it was Anime City, where they had, like, stuff like
Slayers.
Forget just Slayers, because that's, like, internal. I'll get to them in a bit. But I've been working with Tantor Media and RB Audio when they did Realist Hero, By the Grace of the Gods, S-Rank Adventurer. There was a couple, like, audiobooks they did. Black Summoner, just name a few that they announced. But they haven't done any new, like, type of audiobooks since then. Like, in terms of, like, announcing, like, anything new. Like, hey, where's the Apothecary Diaries? Oh, yeah, they would have to announce that, I guess, do that personally with, like, Sound Cadence or whatever Jane Alcorn wants to work with. So, internally, like, they...
I mean, I feel like for the Apothecary Diaries at this point, like, I feel like Square Enix might be going, hang on, then.
Yeah, right. But, well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll have to see. But, yes, we have, Jane Alcorn was doing Slayers, as you mentioned earlier, Bookworm. They also are Fruetta, and then also they're doing Smartphone. I can't remember Smartphone, and they're kind of, I think, are they done with Slayers? Maybe either they might have be one or two volumes away from Slayers finishing that. But the point is, they don't really release too many of that. They don't put out too many audiobooks.
I mean, listen, Jane Novel Club is so busy they only like just set up their Blue Sky account, like, 3 days ago.
Yeah. So the point is, I think they
it existed, but they weren't using it until, like, 3 days ago.
Right. But yeah, the basic point is they're just kind of overloaded with stuff. So audiobooks has been kind of shelved in a way. Excuse me. I have been wondering, like, what they're going to do. And they obviously announced two more audiobooks at this convention. I'm kind of curious if they shared information about future audiobooks, which they did not share on their socials or anything like that. And I'm not sure anybody who went to the panel was savvy enough to wonder about that either. But I guess I'll be on lookout, because obviously they have a new partner in Dreamscape. So I kind of wonder if they're working with Tantor and RB Media anymore, because it's obviously a change for sure. So very curious what their future of audiobooks is. And yes, will they be able to put out the Apothecary Diaries audiobook? That is a very good question. Look forward to finding out, hopefully, in the near future. Alrighty. So obviously Kodansha had their panel. They announced way more at this panel than Anime New York City. I guess it fit into their sales timeline, so that's why they got to announce these here. So Kodansha's going to release Masamune Shirow artwork in the show. So we got the Masamune Shirow art book out there. Kumi Makimura, Akane Shimizu, and Kumi Makimura's Cells at Work picture books. And we got Akane Shimizu, Choko Azor, and Meku Kaire's Cells at Work cat. You know, funny up, Helen, I was wondering, it has been a while since Kodansha has like brought out any sort of Cells at Work type of work in a bit. So I was like, oh, where did Cells at Work go? Where'd it go? Here it is. It's back. It is back. Shirimoto's Yum Cat. Sachiko Kashiwaba, Renji Asai, and Miho Satake's When a Dragon Calls. Naoko Uehashi and Ito Takemoto's Eren the Beast Player. If this sounds familiar, yes, Kodansha and also K-Manga have been publishing the manga on their services digitally. So it was on K-Manga, or it is on K-Manga. It's also been available digitally, but now it's going to be an omnibus print, I think starting late next year. They announced Yuki Amiya and Yukino Ichihara's My Husband is a Doomsday Weapon. Megumi Sato's You Might As Well Be the One. Mia Sorohana's A Love Too Captivating. Anji Sena's Comeback After Fate. And a graffiti cover dumpster shaped box set edition of Kei Rana and Hideyoshi Ando's Gachiyuka. I don't think I said that right.
Which I just think it's hilarious. Just dumpster shaped.
As somebody that's been watching or basically familiar with the series, I'm like, it sounds like something it would do. Nothing friendly to me. I unfortunately could not understand Helen's amusement.
I'm just amused at, you know, like, oddly shaped box sets. Mm. You know, they just amuse me. Although even funnier here was that, which one? The Doomsday Weapon one looked kind of interesting, so I poked around online and I found that on, like, Japanese Bookwalker. And I, like, opened it up, you know, virtually. Took one look at a page and I went, hang on a second. And I double-checked the names and I was like, oh, this is the duo that also did 07 Ghost. I totally recognize the way they do, like, these ancient glyphs. Like, that exact that exact faux font. It was like, I recognized that instantly. I cannot recognize faces, but goddamn, I can recognize art styles. I don't know if I should be proud of this or not. Manga Mavericks announced two new licenses, Sen's Horan of the Closed Country and Atsuji Yamamoto's Sinbad. And then Kodama Tales announced that they've licensed Bocchi's Sunken Rock and Yuzuko Hoshimi's Magica. And they, for Sunken Rock, they say this is going to be the perfect edition in an omnibus format. Has Sunken Rock been licensed in the U.S. before? Because I
yes,
feel like
plenty of
it
times.
Has.
Yes, plenty of times. Digitally,
okay,
though. Digitally,
I felt though. Like I was losing my mind. No, okay.
It's just been digital. So first it was on Crunchyroll Manga way back in the day, Crunchyroll Manga. And it was also on, like, Manga Planet at some point, too. And then eventually I think it obviously...
Uh-oh, Justin.
What's up? Hello?
For news, we forgot to say in the news that Crunchyroll Manga is officially back now.
No,
like,
we
the
talked
site
about,
is up
no,
and
no,
running.
We talked about it last episode. We're good.
That's my name. Yeah, but like, as of a couple of days ago, it's up. I just...
No one.
I don't think either of us have been able to try it out yet because they have no free version to try it out.
Yeah, no free version to try out, and I simply do not care. That is basically it. We already went over it last episode. No need to do it again. Boom.
No, I thought you meant that you did not try it out because you simply did not care.
No, about the service. I just didn't feel like talking about it. We already talked about it last episode, and also, as you said, you need to also add to your subscription to get it. And I'm like, I don't want to do that when I already have enough manga apps at the moment. they're not offering it. From what I just a glance, I maybe have to actually look at opinions on this, but just looking at it, it's basically titles that are already on other services. There's nothing exclusive. Like, that's simply theirs. So what is the point of me adding to it? I guess for convenience reading? I don't know. Maybe Yen Press stuff, but I think most of it's on Square Enix stuff with Manga Up. Who wants to do a manga? But I guess it depends on who wants to deal with that. But I just haven't really really felt like checking it out. So there's no point in discussing it. No point. Anyways, keep going.
The only other thing from there is that they're going to be releasing Magica in two full color volumes. So apparently these are going to be nice releases if you are interested in either of these titles.
And in final bit of in final New York Comic Con news, Crunchyroll, they announced some stuff, Helen. Granted, some of the stuff is just like, okay, it's notable. I mean, Demons of the Shadow Realm, Hiromu Arakawa's manga to anime. Oh yeah, I gotta definitely check that out. We got Gentle O's Vacation Recommendation, Isekai Office Worker, The Other World's Books Depend on the Bean Counter, Kunon the Sorcerer, Tensei, just name a few. And just to also go back to Demons of the Shadow Realm. No, I did have to note that it's apparently going to stream first on Crunchyroll. I guess that suggests that it will eventually go on other services like Hulu, Netflix, maybe in the near future.
We know Hulu's not long for this world at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Disney Plus will be Disney Plus, really. But yeah, I thought that was notable. Yeah, other than that, those are like the kind of like, okay, they announced some other stuff, but those are a few that, okay, yeah, that's something that's normal for a convention. But Helen, they also announced they've licensed Ocean of Code Season 3.
Yeah, you messaged me this with an emotion that could be described as laughing at the egg on Sentai Space, since this was like shortly before or after Sentai put out a release about, oh yeah, and here's our premium edition, you know, limited edition set for season one.
It is so funny, Helen. I'm literally just seeing Crunchyroll announce this, and then maybe like a couple minutes later, or maybe like 10-15 minutes later or something like that, after my speculation on Twitter, WTK, he put that account puts out that Ocean of Code season one premium box set. So I had two emotions at that moment. One, there's no way they just announced this right after Crunchyroll took season three. And then another thing is, I bought the Steelbook already. Sentai, why do you keep doing this?
Yeah, I don't know about his Twitter post, but on Blue Sky, when he linked to the premium edition coming out, he also included in there, oh yeah, and Crunchyroll's licensed season three, like in the same post.
It's like awkward. And I have to hope that this is not their only Sentai, that's not their only like home media release for January, which is what they the slate. They sent the press release for that. It was only just that they announced. I'm like, you do have more stuff coming out this month, right? Or it's coming up in January, right? We gotta get to the big elephant in the room. Yeah, I guess that Kadokawa Sony deal is paying off big time, right? the whole shares thing is paying off big time. I'm of two minds of this, Helen. I am not sure if you share any of them, but is one, yes, Crunchyroll maybe, or okay, Sony exercising their flexible might in terms of, yes, we dominate all the anime. And, oh yeah, you high dive, you had season one, season two of Ocean of Code. Well, don't mind us, we're going to have season three. But then the other thing is, I feel like this is something that high dive cannot be using at this point in time right now. They just can't be doing this. I mean, maybe they couldn't help it, obviously. Maybe they tried. Maybe they thought maybe it's not worth it. I feel like they, if unless literally Kadokawa said no, totally possible. Unless they said no, like, this is not something Hideo should have let go. Because they don't really release too much stuff seasonally in general. And right now they have to compete with Netflix, Amazon, It's Anime. Damn it, I said Amazon already, right? Did I say Disney?
I think you did, yeah.
Disney.
I don't know, but yeah.
The point is just lots of competing services. And Pineapple in general just does not acquire too many shows in general over a season. They don't really, and I guess they dub maybe one or two shows, but again, they don't really compare to the competitors. Like, it's just like not that often. So Ocean Code is like one of the biggest shows for a while. Obviously, even I think season one reached number one in certain aspects of their service in the history. So, it's not confirmed if it's just exclusive to Crunchyroll. It could be a case where it could be shared. I unfortunately doubt it. I think it's just something that Crunchyroll's going to want to keep for themselves, season three. So it's not like I'm shutting the door, but this is not exactly new. You want to hear if you're high diamond Crunchyroll. And the fact that they announced that the premium bust, the premium limited edition, right, literally, like, I guess a few minutes, maybe the same, like maybe before or after, who knows when. Essentially the same day as this news drop. That's I very much worried about High Dive and what the future holds for them. Very concerned. Very concerned.
All right, so then we're moving over to streaming news. Aniplex has revealed that they are going to be streaming, I think it's Clockwork Girl, episode 1, I think. The Clockwork Girl episode of the Virgin Punk original anime. They're going to be screening that on November 11th and 13th. They announced an English dub, so presumably one of these will be subbed and one of these will be dubbed. The screening will also feature a never-before-seen featurette exploring the creation of the anime. Yeah, I'd expect it was never seen before, because this thing is brand new. Like, who would have had a chance to see this before? Yeah, I've seen the trailers for it, and it looks good, but some people pointed out that this is... Who is it? This is Umetsu, and, like, his series, like, always take forever, and when they don't have enough time, they end up looking kind of bad. Like, people keep mentioning some episode of Wizard Barristers that I did not watch, but was apparently pretty awful looking.
The last episode was so
unfinished. But apparently that's coming soon.
The last episode of Wizard Barristers was so unfinished, but they still have to go with the episode on broadcast TV anyways. Glorious. Just glorious. They could not obviously fix it in time, and yeah. tough scene for everybody involved in that, that they had to release in that state. Hell, we're going to have more Conan Cinema. So we have Detective Conan Full Score of Fear, which I watched yesterday with the bad subs, aka just these weird, not quite AI, but you could tell it's one of them YouTube kind of caption subtitles that the people at TMS did not properly edit. It's like, stop.
So it's not like auto translating the Japanese subs or something
it's
like
just
that.
Very annoying. Yeah, it's just not good. It can be better. It's just like, come on, guys, we can do better than this. Next week's going to be Magician of the Silver Sky, and then of course it is October and Halloween, so you can't obviously go without October without screening The Bride of Halloween. So that's coming out October 25th. So here's something funny, Helen. They also announced that same day they will stream the Night of the Full Moon Duel Mystery TV special for free on YouTube. So they that same day they said, oh yeah, come stop on YouTube at like 10 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch this TV special. So I go watch the special. They get to a big reveal about Conan and Shinichi and everything. And that's it. The episode ends. So it was only 51 minutes.
So instead of a dual mystery, you got like a single mystery.
I think they did note in the comments to go straight to either the Netflix episode or the Crunchyroll episode in the comments, and maybe they eventually update in the description to do this.
That's so lame. Our live stream is only going to cover half of it. Make sure to, you know, click here to see part two.
It was very,
like 2006 back again.
It's very awkward, Helen. It'd be one thing if they said that they would do this, but they had no indication they would do this at all. They didn't say they would do a
and this part, was yeah, and they, this was live, you said? Because I can only imagine live, what the chat replay must have been like.
No, they were so confused. they had no clue either. We were all just puzzled. Had no idea what TMS was thinking. Like, it's not like I could cook it. Here's probably TMS's thing. They aired on a weekday and people were coming and work on a weekday and like, okay, sure, fine, whatever. You have Saturday. Saturdays most people are home and everything. They're not really they're just chilling weekends, fine, understandable. But then when you say that you're going to put a TV special, at least say you're going to have, like, part one or, like, it's not going to be all of it. Just put that out there. Just transparency is nice, you know? Nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, it was hilarious. Now, I already watched the TV special because it was already on Netflix and Crunchyroll, but I like the social support and everything, so I wouldn't mind watching it again. But it was just humorous. Just look at the chat, just kind of just go all puzzled and confused. just hilarious.
And then, I feel like this is more of a Justin thing, so maybe
anyway.
You'll
no,
explain
just,
the cinema.
Just do it anyways.
Okay. So Justin, you know that thing, Gintama? We're not talking about the new anime right now. That's for another episode. But, Hulu has added seasons 2 and 3 with an English dub. I don't know if this is the same English dub that Funimation put out before.
It wasn't even Funimation. It was not even Funimation. That was Sentai at the time. And eventually a new group actually handled the dub for that.
But this seems to be the same cast as the dub of the first season. So,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
yeah. Just when you thought Gintama was done, all of a sudden it's just coming back out of the woodwork.
Also, it's like we've definitely said before that Gintama is one of those series where it's never going to have a very wide international audience because a lot of the jokes rely very heavily on Japanese wordplay, which you know is a pain in the ass to subtitle and even harder to adapt into a dub script, so this is very strange. I still remember one person saying on the ANN after show that that ever since the subtitles stopped including footnotes, they probably haven't been picking up on as many of the jokes. So like that is why it is so weird that they have suddenly started dubbing something that previously they haven't touched since 2019, and it's just wild. This is people out here making just some wild ass choices all the time. It's almost weird news, but not quite.
Yeah, for Gintama, yeah,
Actually, I feel like that is the theme for this week's streaming news. I feel like all of these streaming news announcements are weird news
Oh
because
yeah, I guess even the
Tubi is
Conan one,
also
right?
streaming the first 15 episodes of the 1969 Legend of Ninja Kamui anime. Like, my parents were alive in 1969. But you know that was a long ass time ago. Why are they streaming it now?
Didn't somebody
I would say
license
who
that?
asked for this, but maybe it's like, how did you even find the rights holders to something that old still?
Didn't somebody license this? I want to randomly say discotheque, but I could be wrong.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, it doesn't
Did
say.
Discotech license this? Maybe.
No, it doesn't say any Annan articles, so maybe not. All right, maybe not. All right, yeah, it is random then. I hope it's not Tai Chi situation once again.
Tai Chi
Hope
Chasers.
it's not that
Somebody
again.
contacted Tubi and was like, "Hey, I've got the rights to this 1969 anime. Nice, right?"
Yeah, I do see some. I think that there are some comments in the forums, but I am not decide. I am decide. I am choosing not to open them for our sanity and the fact that we still have more to talk about this episode. So I think just knowing that this is out there is good enough. And then final bit of streaming news. So now all the weekly Young Jump manga is gonna now also be on Manga Plus. So anything I guess new that's gonna be on that magazine moving forward, it's also gonna be Manga Plus. And I'm gonna start a sequel to a series. So it's already gonna be bizarre for anybody who just randomly picks it up. Yuji no Miya's Bungo Unreal. Again, sequel to the Bungo baseball manga. All of a sudden, Manga Plus is just having so many baseball series on their service. Do they not know that baseball manga doesn't do that well over here? I think it doesn't really do that well over here. What's happening here? But anyway, I guess
They're seeing all these Americans get excited about baseball and they think it's time. Like, no, the reason people are getting excited over a Seattle Mariners game is because it went for 15 innings, not because we want baseball manga necessarily.
Okay,
Although, I think the game. I don't know if the game was. What's up?
no, I was gonna say like Manga Plus is more global, so obviously more people are gonna read it just us Americans, but I just thought it was amusing.
It was kind of funny seeing people just going feral about baseball on Blue Sky. And I just typed it in and someone's like, "Is this game gonna last longer or shorter than a history of the Seattle Mariners?" And I was like, "Oh, I get that reference. Oh, I get what's going on now." Okay, Justin, it is time for the main part of this episode, finally, after an hour. Summer Anime 2025 final thoughts. I still haven't finished watching everything because I've had a weird past couple of weeks. And
Wee,
my groove has been thrown off.
yes, Helen, it's been a summer season. It has been
It's been a summer.
it has actually been a summer, yes. Yeah, now you're gonna get to how much of a summer it was, but it was a summer. But in terms of anime, yes, it's just way too much. Way too much. We get to this situation every season where these production companies are like, yeah, we're gonna have all the anime aired in this particular season, and us humans are expected to consume it all. And I'm like, no, do I have time to consume all this? think that? The answer is no. I can only consume some of it. Oh, well, darn it.
Justin's like, I've got a life outside of this anime thing.
Like Fire Emblem. What? Okay, yeah. Anyways, yes, Helen. So what are your thoughts overall the whole season? What are your thoughts?
Kind of weak, honestly. Like, there was a lot to watch, but probably not a lot that I'm going to remember in, like, 6 months' time.
I can see where you're going for, with. I guess I could see it. I found some titles. I think most of the problem is most of it's sequels. I guess to the new stuff. Yeah, I guess some didn't really, quote unquote, stick out. There are a few I think that could break out. Like, I didn't put this on my list, but obviously, A Fairly Odd Flower is still ongoing on Netflix. But,
God damn it, I still haven't even started that one yet. So, I keep forgetting.
But yeah, that's still going. But I think that has a chance. I know it's going to get like a movie sequel sometime next year, I believe. So that's happening. We have a couple new stuff to announce for another season. So, and we'll probably talk about a few of that this episode too. But yeah, in terms of new stuff, yeah, I wouldn't probably not expect somebody to be on like a top 10 list or something like that. But then as for the sequels, woo, I got at least maybe one. Let me get my list. I guess a few that might be on people's top 10 list for the end of the year. I guess we'll see. But yeah, I would say yes. I guess more quality than quantity. I would agree that there were some pretty good titles. I would say nothing like totally great or amazing. Titles that definitely were enjoyable for the season. Some titles that definitely could have been better, or some titles that just missing a little something to get to greatness. But overall, it's pretty good. But of course, we talk about summer stuff. I'm going to talk about some stuff that aired eons ago. What? Okay, so not true. So Dandadan for me, this is season 2. This obviously had a season 1. In the fall of last year, fall 2024, and came back over summer. It is again more wacky hijinks, maybe too wacky to even describe. I'm not even sure how you even describe what Dandadan is. The only thing is, like, there's a ball, it gotta be found, and wait, what kind of ball? Let's just stick to just a ball, okay? A ball's gotta be found. That's all you need to know.
It's a teenage boy and it's a ball. We all know what kind of balls we're talking about here.
We have aliens. We have lots of supernatural stuff happening. The last episode, or the last few episodes, had a kaiju. Not quite Godzilla, but close enough. And I think you're fighting Buddha? One of the Buddhas? I don't remember.
If you meet the Buddha, kill him.
The point is, it's too wild. And Science Center obviously has done an amazing job visual-wise, just kind of amping up what the manga is, because the manga has its own realm of like art that works in its favor, but obviously in animated form it can kind of go a little crazy, and I think it goes crazy for Dandadan in a way that works. It's just visually appealing and everything. So needless to say, I had a great time with this. Obviously I had a great time in general with the season, or these past two seasons in general. Obviously that's the third season. Looking forward to when that's going to come out. My guess at this rate, either late 2026 or early 2027, because they didn't announce this like it's kind of in a way where I think they had like season one already done, but then they worked on season 2. I don't think it's the case for this one, so season two is going to take a bit, but whenever it comes, I will be there. Dr. Stone is another one. I think that also aired in the winter. Oh, this one aired in the winter 2025. So those good old split parts and everything that we're in this industry now. Love a healthy industry that has you cannot complete everything at one go. You have to have it split up in parts. But to its worth, it was worth it, because it's obviously getting into the best material of Dr. Stone yet. This is obviously the war. Not just it's not even just like the whole. You got the science with the science battle, but the problem is the science has a, I guess, kind of Americans over it. They got more advanced tech than the people we know. So it's like, oh yeah, we got hold this thing here. Oh, we got like an actual airplane with a machine gun. Oh. but this mostly this part two is kind of just reconciling about the after or trying to find the next. What's the future? What is the future of Senku and the crew? What's going to happen to them? And it stars somehow Suika. How did Suika become the star? How did that little tyke who actually couldn't see well very well become the star? And that's actually produced one of the more heartwarming episodes in the entire franchise. Very, very good stuff. It was emotional with the manga part of it, and it was very emotional and a little cathartic at the same time with the anime version happened too. So it's funny because I wouldn't say like it's visually like stands out or anything like that, but it's well directed. And I think obviously, again, the story type contents is just, it works really well. So I think it's another really, this definitely better. Part one was pretty good, but this definitely would be in my top 10, I think for sure, for part two, science feature. And of course, I was going to have part three or the final part sometime next year. So looking forward to that and the actual conclusion, Dr. Stone. And I'm going to take a quick break before getting into the rest of the spring 24/7 carried over through the summer. So please take it away, Helen.
Let's see. There's a couple things I did not finish up yet. And a couple things which are getting sequels, which is funny, but I was only watching a couple of actual sequels, which I know you're going to talk about as well, so I'll pause those for a second. Hellteacher Nube. This was one of the ones being streamed on the It's Anime YouTube channel. And it is set to be a split core. I think they've confirmed that the second half's going to be this winter. Can't remember quite for sure. But yeah, that was fun. I've never read the original manga or seen the version of the anime which aired in, I think, the 90s? But this one worked pretty well, being lightly updated for the current time. Like, you know the problem with a lot of horror and supernatural series is that a lot of these problems would be solved if people just had cell phones with, you know, good communication with each other. I felt like the pacing here was quick enough that it made sense that characters aren't, like, able to, like, call somebody on a phone or whip out a smartphone when something happens, that there's just no time for it. Also, part of the premise pretty early on is that Yubei is this teacher for, like, an elementary school class. I think they're elementary school. I don't think they're middle school. And nobody is doubting that they've just got, like, spirits and demons running around in their corner of the city for some reason. Like, the kids are all convinced of this pretty quickly, so there's none of that. The school administration knows what's going on. So it's less, oh no, how can I convince somebody? It's more, teacher, somebody got possessed. Again. Please don't break more of the school. They're already deducting so much of your salary to pay for stuff that happened the last time. Hoping that we get a bit more of Nube's backstory in the second part, since there's been like one or two hints at it, but not much. So it feels like that's how things are getting set up, like that we'll have, you know, the character's backstory for, you know, maybe a more serious part in the second half, but probably not too serious, since the tone of this one is still pretty lighthearted and fun, even if it's one of many shows I watched this season where I went, wow, I should not be watching this during my lunch break. This is not something I should be watching while eating. That happened with like three different shows this season. And I was like, God damn it.
Alrighty. The following three shows. I would actually say. Actually, I just realized I missed one show for winter, I think. Yeah, in fact, I think I have to talk about this now, too. Totally Bound Hanako-kun Season 3. Did that not air in winter? Was that last year or something like that?
Yeah, it was in the winter when they had they had season two, and I don't know if we're calling this season two part two or what, since I don't see anyone calling this season three, but there was some of the winter, and then there was more in the summer.
We're calling it season three for no other reason, just to be like, what is this anime industry, and why did they not officially confirm what season it is?
Also, it's kind of funny because this one... I'd been looking at it, and I was like, wow, they're really going to have to condense a lot to fit all of this into one arc in the anime, since was checking my manga volumes, and this arc covers like 8 or 9 manga volumes, and they don't in fact cover it all. We end on a cliffhanger. And I don't think there was an announcement for another anime season yet, so I think we have just left off on a bit of a cliffhanger at this point, where it's like the characters aren't being actively threatened, but
no, it's definitely
give it like 5 minutes and they're about to be threatened again.
You say that, but it's like there is just so much happening right now, and it just really ended like that. Like, no, no, it's definitely bad things about to happen for sure.
And I was like, well, I see that I was proven right. This did turn out to be an awful lot to condense down.
But I do wonder, I think there probably will be more at some point. I think when the studio is ready to handle it. I don't think this is the last of Hanako-kun. Unlike how, you know, when season one happened and it took like, what, 3 or 4 whatever years until they got back to actually doing new Hanako-kun. I think it'll be a bit, I think it'll be coming back sooner rather than later. But, because I know it's really popular in Japan, so that's very helpful. Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry, there's an ambulance right going by outside my building. Oh, it is funny to talk about this one right after Nube, because both of these series, it's like, what is the source of all our problems? Oops, we built a school on top of the Hellmouth, basically. Like, not exactly the problem they're experiencing in Nube. It seems more like this city has bad vibes, but in Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, at one point Nene's like, hey, there haven't been any human sacrifices no one's been telling me about, right? It's like, not recently. You know? Did those help? Don't know. Maybe.
But yeah, this was this is a really good season though. It's like, oh, this is why I loved the manga series, and why, you know, what that random time I just decided to go to the library and I say, oh, there's a couple of volumes of Tanaka right there. I think I'll just take them and maybe hopefully read them at some point just to see what the heck is gonna happen after this, because now they're gonna. They have basically where it left off was like, okay, everything seems fine, but clearly Hanako-kun, Nene, and the rest of the cast, they're still kind of stuck in the far shore. Like, they're still kind of stuck there. It's not looking great for them. And now they gotta work with the broadcasting club, I think, maybe, but it's probably not gonna be working the way they think it is.
Yeah, my one thought is that I don't think there's enough material left in this arc to do another full season, but assuming I'm not mixing up things, from what I remember, the next arc after this is one that is still kind of the ongoing arc. It's getting kind of longer and kind of weirder and messier, so it's like, I don't even know where you could cut that one for just season breaks, so feel like you guys were put in a bit of a hard place and just... Yeah.
I feel confident. I think, considering they cut out one, remember they cut out one part of the manga from season one and they integrated it into season two, part one. And I think they did a pretty
good because if you that. Don't explain a character's backstory, you're going to have some issues because character becomes important.
Yeah. So I think they kind of felt like, I mean, I feel like they know for the most part, they have an idea what they want to do with the series. So if it comes back, whenever it comes back, I thought there was a bit more volumes out there in Japan, but I guess not.
There's still a lot. Like, I think Japan's like up in the 30s, and this covers through like maybe 17 or 18. So.
Yeah, I think, I guess they're going to want more material out there, but then once that happens, I think they'll be comfortable announcing a new season. And they'll.
Well, like I said, I think part of the problem is that the arc, which I believe is the next one after this, is just very, very long. It's kind of like I'm reading like summaries of it, and I'm going, "Oh no, I'm getting Clamp vibes. Mm-hmm. Oh no, like I'm getting like Tsubasa vibes. Oh no." But yeah, Hanako-kun is good. I still really like Megumi Obata's voice performance as Hanako and his twin. Just she's doing a very good weird voice for both of them.
I just like that we finally got the focus, I can't remember her name, I'll tell the blue hair girl.
I always forget. It's like I forget which one is Ao Akane and which one's Akane.
You're right,
Aoi,
you're right,
it's like,
yeah, right. That's why.
It's like I don't remember which one is which with the American and with the Japanese name order. Right. So I think we'll just go for Aoi, like Aoi.
Okay, we'll go Aoi.
Blue hair. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some instances, especially in the manga, where he just mentions stuff like about the supernatural part of the, or some sort of mystery that has in school, and I'm like, why do you know this? And then why do you conveniently say this particular time? And I kind of wonder what's your backstory.
Listen, Justin, some middle school girls are just weird like that. Like,
but yeah, we really got like really in depth with her in this part, and I'm like, oh dang. Well, dang. So I thought that turn was interesting and very good. So yeah, that's a really, like I said, overall just really engrossing stuff from the series, and I'm just very much. I'm just going to have to settle with the manga. Hopefully I can make time for the manga. Ugh, so much.
So Justin, much you're going to have to, like, not... You're going to have to resist the urge to reread all of the Bookworm manga.
Yeah, no.
More chapters. You're just going to have to resist
it's,
that.
It's the manga and the light novel, right? Yeah. Oh, hell, it's actually kind of brutal. Because I'm reading part two right now. I'm like, I'm just part of the light novel. Oh, yeah.
Justin, no tangents! No tangents! We don't have time for tangents!
All right, I guess I'll quickly go into the rest of the spring stuff that carried over into the summer. That'll be Witch Watch, Yaiba, Samurai Legend, and Anne Shirley. I thought these were all pretty good. I think Yaiba is kind of the weakest one out of these two, only because we talk about how shonen, especially 90s shonen, can be, and it's kind of like, yeah, this doesn't really work that much anymore. It doesn't really work that much anymore for Yaiba, where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm so much weaker than this other character. How do I get out of this? Something happens that gets them out of it. Oh, I'm so much weaker than this other character. How do I get out of it? Something happens that... And you could argue, yes, always a shonen trait, but I feel like certain earlier versions are a little, like, annoying in a way. So the fact is, it distracts from the fact that, oh yeah, the real story is we got this one guy, Onimaru, who really is just upset that he lost to a guy. Now, granted, Yaiba is annoying, but he got so upset that he wants to take over Japan. What? Bruh, you became a demon essentially, and or Oni essentially, and you want to destroy the world because you lost to a guy. Okay, this is
some you know the meme, Justin. Some guys will do anything except go to therapy.
Like, I'm not even sure therapy would have helped this guy. But yeah, the only other the thing is, what does help is what really obviously you can definitely see the passion that you have for this series. Just from an animation standpoint. Just from what they want to show off in terms of Yaiba fighting and all the cool things he could do with the sword that he has. The final arc essentially throws in one more villain. That's like, wait, how can you throw another villain unless you get another season? And yes, they did announce another season of this. I'm like, but I don't know if this did super well or anything like that anywhere. Like now Netflix is not even releasing that. Like, they didn't even do a soundbite for that. They're going to release it like... all at once at some point in November. I don't think it's doing that well, but they're gonna soldier on, and I'm like, okay, I'm not complaining. I don't think it's great or anything, but I personally had a decent time with it. So I still want to check out the manga because obviously Viz is pushing it out just to compare, but not bad. Just it could have been better. You can see this is one of Gosho Aoyama's early works. You can tell the rough edges for sure. Witch Watch, I had much more enjoyment for. Obviously, it's the comedic nature of it is that means it's gonna be some episodes will be funny, others. But for the most part, I just enjoyed them parodying certain anime, deciding to also bring in their own. They had one episode specifically where they adapted an anime within the actual manga itself of Witch Watch, Ura Mirage. They actually did a whole opening for it.
Oh yeah, I think I saw like friends saying like I had to double check I was watching the right stream when like this totally different opening sequence started up.
They literally spent one episode doing that, and they even had like a whole they got voice like different voice actors for this, and it was crazy. They did not have to go that hard for this, but they
commitment
really,
to the bit.
They really committed. I had to respect that for sure. They even did it again, not as long, thankfully, but you don't want to take away too much from the actual show itself, but they actually spend like a good part for it. But that's only because we have these two fangirls who are really into the series, Ura Mirage. So that's one of the reasons why. So like I said, just a variety of comedy that Witch Watch employs. Obviously, it has a larger overarching plot of, oh yeah, Namu's rich, and you got Morihito as the only in just protect her, but then you're gonna have other characters to show up, and they're gonna watch over this witch. That's why it's called Witch Watch. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, personally had a great time with this. Oops, excuse me. And it was nice to delve into Anne Shirley for the first time. Obviously, we had the anime version, but then obviously way before that, the novels, the Green Gables, that I've never read. But it is fascinating to just see how Anne just grows from this incredible brat, just to be kind of a somewhat of a tyrant in a little way, to just somebody who's obviously
I don't
been.
know. I watched the first few episodes. I still need to watch more. And even in those, Anne didn't feel like especially bratty to me. She felt like kind of more middle of the road for like young
Well,
girl. Like,
yeah, she was the. I mean, it didn't really bother me that much. Personally,
listen, Justin, you should meet some of my cousins.
just. What didn't bother me that much is obviously she'd probably be too much for some people because just how she acts and especially how she maybe treated Gilbert, maybe. But,
Again, you should meet my cousins.
but I had a good time, and obviously, some episodes hit more harder at home. Especially when we had a couple deaths that happened in this series. And the second half, even had a younger death that just like, oh no, that hits Anne and the family, or Anne and family and friends that have as Evan Leia. So,
I'm told that they made this version even gayer.
oh yeah, especially with her friend. Yeah, right. That makes sense. Like every time, like, okay, you're gonna marry this dude, but you really seem to have great chemistry with Anne. Are you sure you want to go with this? You sure?
Did you know that there is like there was a, like an entire literary discourse about the bosom friends, just specifically about Anne of Green Gables? Like it is legendary, the vibes.
Okay, so this is actually a novel thing too. Okay, all right. There,
Oh no, it's definitely in the vault. Well, I will have to find this.
yeah, in the novels. Okay, yeah. So there you go. So the anime portrayed it perfectly. All right, that's all I need to know. Like I again, not too familiar with it. Just obviously, I was know Green Gables and Anne Shirley and everything, but getting familiar with this and then obviously watching it. And how it handled certain topics and how it handled just and growing up and everything, I thought that was pretty good. So I personally had a good time with Anne Shirley. I think obviously it was kind of rushed in a sense. Obviously, because dancing a whole bunch, a whole bunch, a whole novel into like 24 episodes of Renee.
Oh, this one, co again, I've not seen most of this anime, but this one covers more than one book. It covers like
Yeah,
two or
yeah, yeah, yeah. My
three.
understanding is it covered a bunch of, yeah, it just condensed a whole bunch of stuff. Where you go back to the first Anne Shirley, and it was like 50 some episodes or whatever.
And it covers like 7 or 11 pages per episode.
yay, bosom friends. So funny.
The Bosom Friends controversy, like I said, this was a legit academic like controversy.
Oh, that's funny. But yes, I obviously can't say if it's any better than or worse than the original version of Anne Shirley. But I do like obviously the fact that it does cover more more than one book. That is very nice. Again, I found it pleasant to go through Anne Shirley and watch it again, or watch it throughout the spring and into the summer. I had a good time with it.
But does it make you want to go to Prince Edward Island, which has been, which has used Anne of Green Gables as like a tourism draw for years and years now? All right, I will continue on with my theme of things Helen probably should not have been watching during lunch, but oh well, we ball. I ended up finishing Apocalypse Bringer, Minogra. It's funny because I've read the manga adaptation for this before. And where I left off reading that is basically where the anime finished as well, so I felt a little cheated. I was like, God damn it, I didn't even get any new material out of this. It was just something I needed on in the background when I just needed, like, kind of mindless entertainment during my lunch, just since my work hasn't been hard, but I had a couple of, like, longer days or days where I was just digitizing books for a while. and then I realized there were severed heads on the page of the book I was digitizing, and I just needed something to decompress with over lunch for that. Not the first time that's come up for me in work, but it's been the first time in a while. So it's weird because Mino Grau definitely feels like it feels like it's angling for a sequel, and I know there's definitely more source material out there, but I don't think a sequel was announced. So it has very strong, go read the source material. Go check out the manga adaptation. Energy at the very end. And I understand why some series have to do that sometimes, where it's like, no, the story's not over. We're not going to make it the faux ending for this. People just have to continue on. But it just feels like a bit of a cop-out to be like, oh, and now the real story is going to begin. Why didn't we start with the real story then? So, can't really recommend this one unless someone else just also really wants kind of forgettable isekai to put on in the background. And I do have a friend who enjoys putting forgettable isekai on in the background while they do, like, art and cooking. So I will probably go recommending it to her then. Although first I was actually recommending Clevitas to her because I was like, look, it's got a good doggo in it. Again?
I'm not sure you should Wait, hold up. Are you sure about that?
Clevitas, he's a good doggo. He's just also a demon lord, you know? Also, another one I should not have been watching during lunch. Like, most of the show, I was fine, but when we get to, like, the second to last and last episode, like, oh boy, that was some very detailed gore that they animated. Like, good God. I was, like, looking away from it. Like, wow, I can't believe we put that on television. Like, I didn't know you could do that. That was very detailed drawings of a man exploding. It's funny because Clevitas definitely feels like a dark fantasy, but it doesn't feel dark without reason. And I think I've said this a couple of times now on the show as we've been just chatting about what we've been watching, but it doesn't feel like, you know, mindless, you know, sexual assault and abuse and violence for the sake of that. It feels kind of like it is shown when needed to explain the world they're in. And that, yes, it does enjoy showing off a fancy and flashy fight sequence. But it feels like it's all done within a larger context, a larger purpose. Which I think can be the real difference between when, you know, a show that comes off as more edgelord than truly dark and edgy. So I feel like this worked really well. I enjoyed it. There's going to be a second half to this one as well.
Yep, season
I don't think they've said when it's going to air.
Yeah, it just announced season two. They have no date for that.
Yeah, they announced it at the closing of this one. So I'm definitely interested in that. Just gotta wait for it to come out. And hope that the manga gets a better release in English than it's gotten so far. Since so far you can only legally read it on Webtoons, where they have adapted it from the... The manga is originally drawn out, like, in standard manga form, by which I mean, you know, kind of page by page, and they've adapted it for the long scroll format on Webtoons, and it does not look good that way. It's just, the paneling just does not translate very well. So yeah, hopefully it gets a release on another service or another publisher as well, where it can actually look good.
Well, you mentioned earlier about possibly Springer McNulty and it's ending and say, like, oh yeah, go read the light novels. And look, based on how the last episode ended, that is essentially what happened with Private Tutor to Duke's Daughter. They basically teased, oh yeah, there's this guy with the prince, and he's just kind of annoying and a dick. And he's like, oh no, I'm gonna kill that guy. I'm gonna kill him. I'll get my revenge. You gotta read the light novels to find out. And I'm like, okay, but people have to actually like Yami enough to want to do that. And I don't think the anime was good enough to let people do that. So yeah, Alan and the girls in light novel form is fine to read. I think it's just there's an enjoyment about it that works. But it's not working anime form because it's just slowly paced. The problem is there is actually some good material that's going to happen starting with part in light novel 4 into 5. But yeah, they get through parts, the first level, first four, three volumes, and they just not adapted very well. I think story-wise or script adapting-wise, there are probably some things they could have cut or things they could have refined, which they did not. Obviously, visuals were a mess. I think in the first episode things weren't totally bad or anything like that, or maybe second episode, one of the episodes, either first or second episode. Literally by the third episode, like the last episode, you can see things like visually melting, where it just does not look appetizing or good at all. It's just not. You can definitely tell you they've not managed any budget or did not have the capacity to animate anything for this series moving forward at this point. Any sort of action scenes, they just could not do. Just even like character models, they just couldn't really get together towards the end. So you could tell visually, or I guess like production-wise, it was just not very good. So the run for Studio Block continues. They had to do Ayaka in 2023, Vampire Dormitory last year, and now this one, and they're all very bad. Do not recommend the anime. If you have a JL Club reader subscription, maybe consider reading just a bit just to see if it'll interest you. But otherwise, no, pass on the anime for sure. And then as for A Couple of Cuckoos, oh, go ahead.
This is reminding me of how one of my friends somehow was not online when Uzumaki was airing. They were like, "Oh yeah, it's apparently coming out on DVD now, but I'm not hearing any buzz about it." And we're like, "Did you hear about how bad this was? Oh no, let us get some clips to show you the animation melt in the second episode."
Oh, you could have tricked that friend. Could have just shown the first episode. Wasn't that the one that was really praised?
Yeah, but they're already experienced with, Junji Ito, so like we weren't gonna be able to trick them into that. We were just more like, "How did you miss this online? Like, here, let's show you."
And then just for quickly, I would say A Couple of Cuckoos Season 2 is also fairly mediocre, but it's my type of mediocre that I kind of like. In terms of, oh yeah, this one boy is, again, surrounded by a bunch of girls, and wait, hold up. Why are the parents getting involved like this? Again, they're switched from birth, and yet they're still somehow going to be in a relationship. What is this craziness? Why is this girl from the shrine and really smart, really into this guy? But I would say Season 2 more focuses on, again, it's still clumsy. But obviously, they're all clumsy in normal teenage ways. Just the fact that they have more pressure on them due to their family situations. They sort of tease one other person in the family towards the end that no shows up in the manga.
No.
They decided not to go that route in the anime, thank God. I would say there was some visual stuff that they did differently compared to season one. I guess it makes sense. They changed studios, so season one was done by Synergy SP. Season two is by done by Okto Nobro, which is not a great studio, but for what they did with Cuckoo Season 2, it's respectable enough. I can't really say I can't complain. Obviously, the big story for this one was that not a we have actual like a actual idol singer that shows up that those that has been involved with our main character for a bit. I was like, oh yeah, I'm back. Did you miss me? Such like that. There are some singing. There is singing involved. Funny how they actually was singing in the dub too. It was like, oh snap! Actually did some singing in English as well. That's crazy. So yeah, not great, but it's personally fine enough to where I'm just like, okay, I still enjoy it enough. Where I didn't feel like I wasted my time. So that is A Couple of Cuckoos Season 2. Will Miki Yoshikawa make it any wilder in the manga? At some point, I have to read the manga to find out. I haven't read, I think the last stuff was like volume 13 or 14 or whatever. I don't remember, but it's been a while. Maybe I'll jump back into it at some point. Not even more break. Go ahead, Helen. What do you got to talk about next?
I think the only other thing I finished up before this podcast was My Dress Up Darling season 2, which it was funny. Before I got around to watching it, people were talking about, "Oh, it looks so good this season." I was thinking, "Yeah, it looked fairly okay last season." And then I get to it this season, I'm like, "Wow, they are just going ham because they can." Like, we got like a section with live action puppets. They are definitely animating scenes in a way that takes longer just because of like camera movements and stuff like that. So it felt like the people working on the show enjoyed working on it and had a good production schedule. Much like Hanako-kun, the first season of this aired quite a while ago. I think it might have even been 2020.
No,
So
whoa,
they've
whoa,
had a
whoa.
fair.
Dressed as only like 2022.
They've had a fair gap in between the seasons, a couple of years, and it seems like that was really for the best. So yeah, it continued to be cute and fun. As a cosplayer, I do laugh at how it is accidentally falling into some cosplay tropes. Like, the initial premise of this is that Marin wants to cosplay but can't make cosplays, and so Gojo is making them for her. But by the end of the season, she's doing a group shoot with some other folks, and they're just buying cosplays since there's not enough time to make it. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is kind of turning into the when you become an influencer content creator online, you don't have enough time to keep making elaborate cosplays, so you end up buying some just to take pictures in. And then, but since Marin's, very good looking, she could probably pull that off and still get the same number of like interactions on there. I don't think that was the intention at all for what the creator was trying to portray in there. I don't think the creator would be aware of that dynamic, but it amused me that it was unintentionally mimicking real world trends to that extent. Because yeah, I definitely follow some cosplayers online where I follow them because I like when they build things. But when something takes months and months to make, that means it's months and months before you can have new photo shoots. And so they'll definitely like buy cosplays as well and just do little shoots, and you'll still get tons of people fawning over them in the Instagram comments being like, "You look so good. I love how your cosplays look." And it's like, it's just because at this point they're a pretty face that knows how to pose well, right? Like, at this point it's not very unique on their point. But anyway, I continue to enjoy the show. I don't think they've announced a season three, but it would be nice if they're able to finish adapting the manga in another season. My friends who've read the whole manga say that there's not quite enough material for a full season, but it's too much for a movie, so not sure what future plans are, but I just hope there are future plans. Also, I cannot believe my mother watched this one. Just. This is the year my mom started watching more anime, and it's like, this is just.
the anime,
2025 is just a
like
weird
I told you, anime
year.
is mainstream, Helen. This is it. This is it. This is the confirmation right there. Got your mom watching
This
anime.
2025 is just such a fucking weird year, Justin.
I will provide my quick thoughts on My Trusted Darling. Yes, I don't think this is strong narratively as season one. I think season one just had like more of a, obviously the Gojo Marin focus, and especially just trying to get him integrated in the whole cosplay world and everything. But this is still a really good season. And again, as I talked about before, and as you mentioned, I think visually it leveled up for sure production wise, which made it so much fun to actually watch most of these episodes. I think I actually kind of liked the last arc of this, where they obviously not necessarily the whole. The fan thing that was nice, but I think just the fact that they decided to cosplay as from that video, the horror visual novel, and how they executed that was really good. I thought I liked the execution of that.
Yeah, they definitely elaborated on the scenes in the game in the anime. Like in the manga, it covers it well enough. You get a vibe for what kind of the game is, but the anime just like added in the scenes there to make it clear that this is just one of those looks cute, but it's actually really fucked up visual novels. I felt Juju-sama, Juju in those moments, just being like, I'm getting through this, but I do not enjoy this because I am also not a fan of like the horror and gore
But
parts of cosplay. Just nope.
I just gotta do it for my sister though. I just gotta do it for my sister though. That is everything more into our
Oh, but
mind.
this season did have one of my favorite quotes of manga and anime in general, which is, "You can equip boobs, you know."
That
Because
was good though. That was good.
I mean, this is truly how I think about my boobs in cosplay. It's like, okay, do I want to like make them actually look their size? Do I want them to look smaller, bigger? How are we going to equip the boobs today?
That was a great episode. Those two that arc was pretty good with him too. That was really good.
And Gojo being game to put on the the fake boobs, which are those are like legitimately like the name they give in their like Neo Oppai sister. It's like, no, that is actually a real brand in Japan of fake boobs for cosplay. I know where you can buy them. I know where you can equip those boobs.
somehow I'm gonna run through like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I should probably let you know. 6. I gotta get off this before 7. So, okay.
All right. Somehow I'm gonna get through this and really quickly. Captivated by You and Natsu Karaoke from the creator of Wama Yama. Not bad. Actually, pretty solid for both of these shows. Interesting quirk on the schedule. They aired Captivated by You for like 4 episodes. They started with Natsu Karaoke 4 episodes, then they did Captivated by You and finished that first. Then they finished the 5 episodes of Let's Go Karaoke. Kind of odd. But it worked out. It was fine.
That they didn't just like.
Yeah, it was fine.
Finish one. Yeah.
But it was fine. I had a good time with it. It took a while to grow up, get used to Captivated by You. Because it just started, it's an anthology style thing, so the stories will just vary, honestly. So it's just kind of the stories, really. But I think I had a good time with both of them. Mikanori Sisters, another harem that has a really talentless guy as a star. Okay, his mother's talent is very talented, but he didn't get the talent genes in him. But he is now, thanks to the help of one of Mikanori's father, he has a role in with the sisters, essentially. He has to take care of them and hone their talents almost so essentially, but he essentially carves a place with it, within the family. But whether it comes romantically, well, that's gonna, you have to find out and read the manga verse for that one. And I think it's still ongoing, so who knows, it's gonna be one of them long running runs, I bet. And whether you decides he wants to pick any of them, who knows. With You and the Rain, quiet, underrated anime of the season. I read the manga this years ago and had a good time with this. But it's really simple. It's just one character, you. It's funny because, again, they didn't really get the characters' names in the manga, but they did it for the anime. So you just gotta get used to that. And you have, oh, wait, you got the main character, and she ends up following a raccoon. Oh, sorry, a dog. And they interact.
No, Tanuki.
Tanuki. Dog. There you go. No, it's a tanuki. It's a dog.
Cat.
It's also a cat, too, somehow. But it also is able to hold up signs, and it actually knows English, or in this case, like, Japanese, and really.
It's a yokai.
It's a yokai. There you go. We got an explanation. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a really good series. Spirit did a good job animating it. They worked with the hood, and, again, very, very chill. Nothing, obviously, no real, like, large, overarching plottering of that. I had a good time with this. So you can have a good time. The Summer Hikaru died. Wee. So yeah, that was a wild one. Obviously the main crust, obviously enjoyment is the fact that Hikaru is dead, but he's still walking around, lurking in the village. But how he handled is actually hit the relationship between his friend. I think was pretty. It's very fascinating because it's like, oh yeah, it's
gay.
It's gay, and that guy, that whole. I guess I still remind him when he stuck his hand right in his stomach. That was just like, bruh. It really feels like.
Now you understand the context for why the anime staff had to have a plate full of raw chicken.
Mm-hmm. And then at the final episode where they actually really made Hikaru realize, oh yeah, we. And this is me, spoiler, but he died, and then obviously nobody else in the class was actually able to mourn him, because like he just basically assumed like, oh yeah, he's well, as long as Yoshiki understands, lets me live, that's fine. I just care about Yoshiki, that's all that matters. But then he realized, oh wait, at this point the whole class needs to mourn. So we have one character breaking down right in front of him, and then that's when he hits him like, oh yeah, this happened. So there's some nice moments in the series. Obviously, there's some pretty visually terrifying moments. Obviously, not jump out of your seat moments, but just really executed well. And I had a good time with her on Summer Car Will Die. Obviously, this is getting season 2. So looking forward to that. Seventh Prince season 2. Again, more continuing of the really child character that's really powerful, but keeps it to himself. He's the Seventh Prince. But this arc is all about the church and another group that's very... they're just really gung-ho about obliterating the church or making sure you realize, oh yeah, the church is bad, kind of bad. Essentially, like, I need salvation, you didn't provide me salvation when I was in my dark moments, and that means the whole country must suffer. Okay, it's a little bit more than that, but ultimately it's kind of like a takeover type of arc. But of course the Seven Prince and his crew essentially thwarts that mostly for the most part. I would say the fights are not as quite as good as season one. Season one really stood out with that, with how creative the fights were, and in comparison, season two is not bad, but it wasn't quite as good. But again, it's just a wild, crazy series where the battles are very important. just these type of matchups are kind of weird. And the girls lusting over the child is very concerning. Stop! Stop doing this! Don't do it! He doesn't even care. He's just like, I just care about magic. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Just stop. And the one I really would like a lot more was Silent Witch, where I think it had all the tools to be really great. But I think because they rushed some things, it just falls into the category. Very good. And just like, man, I gotta get the light novels to really understand everything. Because I like Monica. I like just most of the cast of characters. But we had one character, Casey, who shows up. And I was like, oh, she's a very interesting character. What are her arc's going to go? Oh, okay, that's where the arc's going to go. Okay, wow, that really went really fast.
Yeah, it was funny because I saw some people complaining about that. And I was like, compared to the light novels, like, this was very obvious. this was much more obvious than it was in the novels.
Okay, yeah, so I feel like, yeah, I kind of rushed a few things. And it comes to a head, like, kind of in a later arc. When we have the introduction of Monica's former friend. And I feel like that arc kind of went kind of fast because it builds him up. And I'm like, really? Two episodes? That's it? But I think overall, it was still pretty good visual-wise. I think everything looked pretty good. Especially the final episode, that was pretty great. And I'm like, is this really going to be it for Monica? Is it an animated form? Oh, no. But maybe I want more, though. Maybe I want more. But yeah, out of all those new shows, this definitely is one that I'm kind of really interested in checking out more. I can wait for the Summon Kaiba to die a bit. Mikono is the same thing if it ever comes back again. But the Silent Witch, I definitely want to check out the light novels. Not the manga. I don't know. The manga doesn't looks okay art-wise, but I think I'm going to check out the light novel.
Okay, Justin, I've got 5 minutes here. So, moving on to weird news. So, we continue to live in a country ruled by a Cheeto. Trump is renewing calls for 100% tariff on movies made outside of the U.S. How the fuck this would work? Nobody knows. But they were talking about, you know, it's a shame, you know, the, like, movies made outside the U.S. are making so much more money. And given the timing of this, this might have been because Demon Slayer and Vindy Castle was making a lot of money and was, like, at the top of the charts, basically, for a week. Like, given the timing, it is entirely possible that
it was just
subtweeting Demon Slayer. Like,
not what I would have expected at any point in my lifetime would this happen. But yes, Demon Slayer might have caused the tariffs to go through. What? This is just too crazy. Too crazy. So, Denny's restaurant chain in Japan, the local location of shopping complex Sailor Moon, and the Seisun card credit card service announced earlier this week. This was, it's just not too long ago. They stopped using advertising illustrations by manga creator Hisashi Iguchi, who's obviously the creator of Stop Hibari-kun. Following allegations, Iguchi traced their respective art pieces. Does not sound good. Really, yeah, does not sound great. For sure.
So any archive or library is going to have what we call arrearage, which is a collection of unprocessed materials that you have, but that you haven't gotten around to yet, and they're just kind of sitting there and nobody can really do anything with them until you actually process them. This is a subject of debate in the archives community, like a lot of debate. So it does not surprise me that some people were going through boxes of Osamu Tezuka's stuff and discovered layouts for unpublished manga. This man died, like, in the 90s, and I guess they're just still going through stuff. They found these in two cardboard boxes while organizing documents in Tezuka Productions art storage facility. They think they date from around 1973. One is a 27-page layout following a high-performance computer reborn as a feral wildcat boy, which feels very Tezuka. Another follows a young man solving the mystery of his big brother who died in a wreck on the northern face of Eiger Mountain in Switzerland. So they're going to be publishing those along with what they're calling like a prototype for one of his short stories. They are going to be publishing that in like a proper volume format on November 14th in Japan. We will see if DMP or whoever it was who was trying to license all the Tezuka stuff would actually come out for this.
DMP out of nowhere. Whoa. Yeah, I don't think they exist, Helen. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not sorry they don't exist anymore. They don't deserve to exist, but...
I would not have believed anime would have been a mention out of Marlon Wayans' mouth if you asked me this back in, like, the Scary Movie Wayans Brothers era time. That's, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. But, yes, it happened when I was...
This is the guy who went fuck anime, right?
He did. Basically, Demon Slayer was hopping the box office over the movie Wayans starred in him. And he went on a podcast and just was like, anime, no, bad, just awful. I was thinking he's kind of joking about that. I obviously didn't watch it, but yeah, that's my thought. Just the fact that of all people, a bunch of this, that was kind of unexpected, to be honest with you.
And then our final bit of weird news, as the ANN headline puts it, after 38 years of Rama One Half, we can finally buy Shampoo's shampoo. This is a collaboration with the Japanese hair care company Nature Labs, and they are putting out some Rama One Half themed shampoos as part of their Diane line. They've got one with shampoo and one with Ranma on it. Yeah, kind of seems like the obvious collaboration to me.
Should have happened eons ago.
I guess they never did it before.
Yeah, like, why did this happen earlier? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that's going to be the episode, isn't it?
Yeah, I got to run, so... you can find me online on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer, and you can find the other podcast I co-host on Blue Sky at taikupodcast.com. Well, at Taiku Podcast on Blue Sky, taikupodcast.com. The podcast itself is called Manga in Your Ears. And then, Justin, where can we find the pod?
You can find the podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify. You can ask any or so you have. You can also subscribe by email, and feel free to leave a rating or review. Always good for the Oshi Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at KamiyonSonomi or Fire Emblem as usual. Nothing new. There you go. Check out TheOshi.com. Check out the social media at TheOshi on most social media outlets. And you'll get nice news and everything like that. So, until next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.